reason I had asked Keith to mention these things about my background is that you'll know I have nothing to do with transportation planning and had no prior expertise. And my department also does not understand that this agency exists one block away that controls millions of dollars. Okay, so that gap was already well established. Regional transportation entities receive federal dollars, and counties can set up their own agency and also be a funnel for federal transportation funds. This was the very first time that our regional agency had been lobbied to create a pot of money called Lifeline Transportation Funding, and it would specifically be for low-income populations. There was no mention of healthcare at all. It's oftentimes these funding streams are prepared strictly for job access. It's to help get a low-income population to where the work is. That's why we actually have no implementation yet to talk to you about, because it's taken a year to receive the funding. This application of getting people to healthcare was a very novel one for them, but one that they did accept as something that was fundable. The van, none of these pictures are from our actual project, they're just from the internet, but this type of van that we have on the top is the one that we will be seeking to run for a 3-year period. It's about a 10 to 12 passenger van with a wheelchair access ramp, and I will proceed and tell you more about this now. Oops, where did it there? I know, it's the wrong button, hang on. My community sponsor is right here in the audience with us, so as there's questions later, he may be able to help us. This is a brave man who, after one cold call, agreed to be the implementer of this project. In San Francisco, many of you know, we have very extreme unaffordability. To live there, our child population is down to 19% of households have a child under 18. Many children do live, however, in the district that I'm talking about, which is the zip code here in the lowest southeast corner. The dark value here represents low-income population. Oh, thank you. There's an arrow. Okay. So right here, this is a community that has some geographic isolation from the rest of the city. It's a diverse community economically. There is a high degree of home ownership, often associated with an older generation that were shipyard workers in World War II. But what we also have is a demographic of poverty, and so the two darkest regions here are the regions with the most poverty. I know many of you also work to benefit communities. These are social determinants of health that we're facing for this community. Lack of employment, economic development, very poor housing conditions, particularly among public housing. Huge legacy of environmental health problems, environmental justice issues. One grocery store for 30,000 population. Freedom of motion impaired by violence in the community. Very low rate of vehicle ownership. No hospitals. Large numbers of uninsured adults. Our city does have many interventions to address these things. I mean, there is progress being made. We have just begun full healthcare access for uninsured adults. There certainly are some violence prevention programs. There is planning for food security and additional grocery stores coming to the area. There's planning to rip down the worst housing, but all of these things are pretty much status quo at this moment. We don't have the change. There's also a large division in the community about economic development and whether or not that will displace people or whether that will benefit the people who already live there. We have a very well-developed sense of economic and environmental justice activism. The community is not lacking for that. This is a redevelopment project on the shipyard on a parcel that was not part of the Superfund site, where there will be mixed income housing, and there's misting and there's all this other stuff going on because there's naturally occurring asbestos here. And we've now spent 9 months in testimony about whether that construction project has caused health impacts for the community or not. Just as an example, okay? I got involved with this work because I also, on behalf of my department, I am the representative to a board of supervisors appointed asthma task force. It's a group to advise the board about financial, policy, legislative recommendations to improve asthma in the city for both children and adults. At the same time, that made me aware of data that is assessed every 3 years because of state law. It's a community needs assessment that nonprofit hospitals are required to do, and they've chosen to do in coalition with each other. And so for many report cycles, we see the same disparity of asthma outcomes. We see every place in the city has the same amount of asthma hospitalization where their confidence intervals overlap, except for two neighborhoods, which were the two that you saw on that first map, where their prevalence of, you know, both the prevalence of asthma but also the hospitalization is much more in excess. And yet there was never a plan that said, how are we going to stop that? They had focus groups that went with those needs assessment reports, and those focus groups talked about the barriers to care. They were culturally specific, ethnic specific, geographic specific type of focus groups, and one barrier was transportation. So when I saw this grant come about, I wanted to study whether it would work for this community. And basically, the needs assessment reports say over and over, there's four hospitalization rates in excess for Baby Hunters Point. They're all preventable types of hospitalizations. They all could be handled by primary care in a preventive measure. The other really large concern and barrier is that we have a lot of violence in this community that affects whether people want to go out, affects whether the municipal bus service works, because if there is a crime incident, a lot of things stop. So, unfortunately, violence is the leading cause of premature mortality in Baby Hunters Point. So I've already mentioned there's no hospital. There are healthcare services. Jacob's involved in developing a healthcare campus. But these clinics also are somewhat underutilized, and there are also a lot of no-show appointments. One reason is that these public transit routes are designed to get you outside, over to the downtown, over across town, but they're not designed to help you build something in your own community. There is no public transit that helps you get yourself to somewhere in your own community. And there is a significant hill in this neighborhood. The Bayview is flat, the Hunters Point is a hill. And the two do not have a connection in many sense. So also transportation assistance does exist from healthcare providers. There are taxi vouchers, there are van services, there is paratransit, but none of these things are really used to their full availability. They're kind of hard to find out about, and they often just do not meet the need. I did a little tiny bit of research. Our 511 information allows you to do trip planning, either by car or by transit, to see how long it takes to get to everywhere. I plugged in all the addresses of all the hospitals. I chose a theoretical address on the main corridor of this neighborhood. You have to take two buses to get to every hospital. It will take you over an hour if you make your connection. The distances are less than 10 miles. It would take you 15 minutes if you were driving. If you had a car, you'd be spending a lot of money to pay for parking in those neighborhoods or in the parking garage of those hospitals. The exception is that there's two hospitals a little bit closer. It would take you 30 to 40 minutes instead of 60 minutes. Found out that this agency had several million dollars to give away. I used the justification from the hospital's needs assessment and the justification of this timing that I just showed you to show the need for this community to have its own shuttle service within the community, also accessing specialty care at the county hospital nearby, and also working with hospitals to improve the utilization of the taxi voucher programs. We were awarded close to $925,000 over 3 years. The shuttle service is planned for a three-year period, and the taxi voucher service is planned for the last 2 years of the service so that we can learn how to do the shuttle first. We are still, of course, experimenting with what a route will look like. We had to learn all kinds of transportation jargon, what it means for the time it takes to embark and disembark, what it means for your fixed route, but we essentially chose a route that would pass by the places where people without cars live, where people without cars spend their time. Social service centers, senior centers, public housing. And then we also establish, well, where can they go for care in their own community? And we will essentially create a loop throughout these sorts of locations. There's a clinic that's up here. There's a health campus that's going to be down here. So hopefully within an hour loop in two directions, there will be your chance to get from where you are to where you need to be. Of course, it's still subject to many of the same demands that people here have already talked about whether people's lives are organized enough to take care of those services. That's something we've yet to see what will be the result. Our goal is 8 passenger trips per hour. And that's kind of how transportation planners think. We had to learn how to come up with what an actual cycle would look like on an hourly basis. When it says delivery to SFGH, that means the San Francisco General Hospital, our county hospital. So we will be taking people there for their specialty appointments once in the morning, pick them up in the midday, drop off a new set in the midday, pick up at the end of the day. And essentially it does take you a whole half day to get your specialty care. So that's hopefully will help with the patients keeping their appointments. The providers at that hospital are very, very eager to be referring their patients into this system of support, and they hope that it will also help them. There's diabetes specialty care, there's asthma specialty care, and a few, you know, other services. This is 10.5 hours of continuous service. As I mentioned, the sponsor is Baby Hunters Point Foundation for Community Improvement. I was able to involve the health department. We all had to commit to in-kind services that are budgeted and built for that approach probably $90,000. And our hospital council is a membership group of all the hospitals. It also has an African-American health disparities focus. Much of the population with this health disparity in Bayview Hunters Point is African-American. They also are a partner. Tenant advocates, asthma advocates, clinics, asthma task force all agreed to be partners to this. And this is where we're at. We're at the end now. We need to be thinking very creatively about implementation, about the stakeholder involvement, the social marketing, the things that get the community excited and involved. We have a radio station that's a soul station that's willing to be a sponsor of this shuttle service. We have all the hospitals waiting to help us market their taxi voucher program so that people who could get to chronic disease management appointments will know to do so through their voucher programs. For instance, there's one hospital, only one hospital that does pulmonary rehab that would be of benefit to COPD patients, and they only see about 6 patients a year from Baby Hunters Point, and that's one of our excess hospitalizations. So they're very much welcoming us to help them reach the right patients. That will improve also their charity care reporting and their charity care utilization for the right reasons. Jacob is now in the process of posting his mobility manager job description and soon to be posting the RFP for the shuttle service. And we also hope that the shuttle service will be an emissions-free shuttle service.